Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. Today we are joined by American Ninja Warrior champion Daniel and Abigail Gill. Well, let's get started. Daniel and Abigail, we are so very excited to have you guys here. So happy. So we wanted to just visit with you guys and get to know you and see what kind of your ministry is. I know that you're a worship leader as well, and you like to travel around and do inspirational speaking.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've competed thus far on American Ninja Warrior for about 6 years and counting.
Wow.
And so the platform that has given me gives me the ability, my wife and I both, to get to travel around and do ministry work, all for the kingdom of God, because as I compete on the show, I'm known as the Kingdom Ninja.
Yes.
And so everywhere I go, whether you're Christians know that, Kingdom Ninja, we love it, we're cheering for you, we're fellow believers. But then it's also a great conversation starter
for
everybody else who says, well, what does kingdom mean?
Or why did you pick that?
Exactly, exactly. So then I get to talk about the kingdom of God, and because of just the platform that I have on the show, I'll have different schools or churches or kids camps or ninja gyms that are all over the country reach out and ask for me to come, you know, be a part of a special event. So I love the season of life that my wife Abby and I are in, getting to travel and, you know, encourage and inspire, but more than anything, point people to the kingdom of God and to Jesus.
Which is so important in this day and age too, because there's not very many cool role models, you know, that are out there speaking to kids and people about Jesus. I think that's very, very cool.
Yep.
So how did you guys meet?
Oh man, Abby, you want to go for it? You want to start this one?
Yeah, so we actually met, I think in 2013 at a mutual friends going away party. Mm-hmm. We were actually going to two different churches at the time in two different ministry schools. So
Was the ministry school where you studied to be like a pastor or just in ministry?
So a lot of it was just like practical application. So it was for those who wanted to go into full-time ministry, felt called into full-time ministry. But for myself, and I think even Abby too, it was like, God, we know that you've given us a certain, you know, set of skills and abilities, like singing, dancing, for me, like athletics.
Yeah.
I said, God, if you open a door into any of these other, you know, spheres of influence in society, be it business or athletics or, you know, health industry, like any of those areas, I want to be fully capable of, you know, representing you well, of leading people to the Lord, of exemplifying a life that loves the Lord, but also looks like Jesus's life, you know, like setting people free, pointing them to the kingdom of God. So that was what Abby and I both went to ministry for. And now that we're outside of the four walls of the church, we are still doing ministry like Jesus called
everybody to do. Because if you're a follower of Christ, you're supposed to be making disciples and telling people about Jesus. That is very
any
cool.
And every means necessary.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I was noticing, we were talking before the cameras went on, you had mentioned, and in a previous recorded interview with the Skywatch TV panel, you mentioned something that floored me. You said that in your line of work, you have had to be very vulnerable, and you've had to show the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
You've had to expose yourself in a lot of very real layers. And so a lot of people that are, they feel, first of all, they are Christians, they're professed Christians, and they believe that they've been called to do a ministry. They feel like, where's this calling coming from? And unfortunately, a lot of times they start by going to a church, signing up for some program that the church has, feeling like I'm being called into ministry. Obviously, that means I have to go to a church and sign up to do a program there. And then when they do, they get ministerial burnout because that's not what they were actually called to do. I love that what you're doing with your ninja, it's a profession, but it's a ministry, that your ninja profession has put you in a position to show other people and set an example that what you are called to do is based on an internal gifting of the Spirit. If you're a ninja or a worship leader or whatever you are, that's what it's supposed to be for you. So in an age that is increasingly hostile towards Christianity, what would you have to say about exposing your vulnerabilities, this multi-layer good, bad, and the ugly? You've had to really put yourself out there. How do you handle some of that?
Yeah. So with the TV show that I'm a part of, American Ninja Warrior, I mean, it is reality TV. So they'll put a big emphasis on the different stories that each of us individual athletes bring to the table. Obviously, overcoming obstacles, whether it be in our personal lives or on the course. But for me in my own personal life, when it came to, you know, American Ninja Warrior, that came from a place of me kind of sitting down as a believer and saying, okay, God, I feel called to ministry, but I don't know what that looks like. Obviously, growing up, I always thought that it was just within the four walls of the church, being a full-time pastor or worship leader or missionary overseas. Mm-hmm. And I got to a place in my life where I said, okay, God, I'm open to any of those because I've at this point in my life discovered how fulfilling, how gratifying, how you know, world-changing and impacting that doing those things are for the world around us and for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But I said, okay, Lord, you've gifted me in many other ways that I've stewarded and that I'm very talented at, singing, dancing, speaking, performing, athletics. I said, God, if you open any of those doors up for me to use or go into as a career, God, what are the ways that I can use that as a ministry? Or can I even use that as a ministry? Mm-hmm. And then thankfully, having great leadership in my life, having great pastors in my life, and a very supportive family, I mean, I just heard a resounding yes from everywhere that I looked. And looking at scriptures, I mean these men and these women, these mighty, mighty men and women of God had day jobs and lived normal lives, just did the things that God called them to do or opened opportunities for them to do. But God used that to change the world. God used them to be examples of what it looks like just to walk with him. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing right now an emergence in the church and the world of people boldly stepping into their areas of influence where God has already naturally gifted them, and they are rising and they are shining, and people are looking at them and saying, oh, okay, so if I want to follow Jesus, I don't have to
be in a box.
I don't have to be in a box, just within the four walls of the church. And
precisely.
I love that.
That's wonderful.
I call that fishing on the other side of the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of harvest over there we've missed over the years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Joe had mentioned this on one of the other shows, but you had actually semi-coined a phrase, said, I told God before I ran a single course that however big my influence became, I would use it to honor him and promote the kingdom lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that is just so needed, I think, in this world, just because, like you're saying, everybody thinks that everything has to be in a box, or you can't be unique with your Christianity or your walk with Jesus. And I think that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's a unique opportunity just being on this TV show and being so successful, because as soon as the Lord opened the door for me to get on this TV show, I thought, okay, well, God, I will prepare myself physically to the best of my abilities. I will do everything that I can to make myself ready, to show myself approved.
Yeah.
I said, but Lord, all the results, the outcomes, hitting a buzzer or falling in the water and getting disqualified.
Right.
I said, God, I'll put those results in your hands, but I will do my part. And it has been amazing just to see how faithful he is when we take and we use what little measure we have in the first place.
Yeah, and I think that's much needed, because, again, it's just been kind of crazy how the world wants to put everything and everyone in different boxes, not just Christianity, but, oh, you're going to be this way, so let's put you in that box. And I don't think kids always understand that. It's like, oh, there's this whole other, and then, they kind of implicate, oh, you can do this, oh, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody really truly knows that it takes hard work, though, too. And putting that work in and that time in to try and reach your goals. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that. They want to sit at home and play a video game,
Nope.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And it's biblical, too, because when you consider the fact that when Paul talked about so many gifts in the book of Corinthians, nobody wants to talk about the fact that there's this whole other list of grace gifts over in Romans. So the point isn't there's 9 or there's 12. Mm-hmm. The point is there's all an unnumbered amount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, how would it even be relevant in today's world? Somebody might have the gift of, website building or something like that. Are they supposed to feel like they're less called than someone else? They didn't list, the gift of being able to be an American ninja. So there you have it, though. But anything that you feel you can use, you should use. And I think that what he is saying to you viewers at home is, no matter what you feel like your talent is, you are called. If you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit's living in here, you're already called. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of waiting to be called. It's a matter of waiting for the opportunity to recognize what that calling is and to go in whatever direction that is and use it for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Like the Ninja Kingdom Warrior.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That was exactly what I was going to say. You beat me to it.
Well, I heard you mention earlier that you had life scriptures.
Yeah.
And I was already going to ask you what your favorite scripture was. And then you mentioned that. And I was like, I need to know what. So what are some of the scriptures that have really inspired you?
Man. I've got a whole list that I'll meditate on. And it's so funny because as Christians, we hear like the word meditate, and we're like, oh, like fingers together.
I
like
know, right?
And stuff. But really, if we know how to worry, which is just to think about like the worst case scenario over and over and over again, we know how to meditate, which biblically is that's just taking a scripture, the truth of the word of God, mm-hmm. and just thinking about it over and over again. And I mean, according to the Bible, like it renews our mind. We go mm-hmm. from glory to glory, faith to faith. So for me, I've got several scriptures, especially as a competitor, as an athlete on the show. I have Romans 8:28, where we know that God works together all things for good mm-hmm. for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So for me, I think, okay, as an athlete, win or lose, God can use this to mm-hmm. to build the kingdom. God can use this to, you know, bring glory to himself. I've got Matthew 6:33, which is what the whole kingdom ninja is about, where Jesus tells his disciples, you know, seek first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and to live righteously. And all of these things in life, what you're going to eat, drink, wear, all of that, God will provide those. He's a good and loving father.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorites that I love sharing with young people is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says to trust in the Lord with all, not a little, not most, but all of your heart, and do not depend on or lean on your own understanding. Because mm-hmm. we live in a world right now where we all think, I'm guilty. I feel like I know it all oftentimes mm-hmm. until I don't. And mm-hmm. you got to be humble about it. But he says, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, whatever you feel called to in life, in all of your ways, acknowledge him mm-hmm. and he will direct your paths. And so those are several of my favorite scriptures that if I'm feeling down, I'll do what David did, strengthen myself in the Lord. I'll repeat mm-hmm. those scriptures. I'll say, God, this is what you say. This is what your word says. And as a Christian, as a believer, as a son of God, I can take these and these same promises that you gave to them, those apply to myself as well. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, I mean, when the world squeezes us, what is inside is going to come out. Mm-hmm. And if we're full of just anxiety and self-doubt and fear, that's going to be what comes out. But if we're full of the word of God, really, the truth of God, when the world Amen. Squeezes us, we're going to have mm-hmm. those promises, that truth coming out. Mm-hmm. And it is, I love it. I love just trying to keep mm-hmm. a kingdom perspective in all that we do in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the world needs so much hope right now.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020 was such a tough year, and everybody's kind of looking around going, you know, where can we find hope in these times? Mm-hmm. So everybody is being squeezed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you said when, not if, and everybody is. And so you're so right about that what's inside mm-hmm. will come out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now. Trouble with digestion, diabetes, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalances, depression, autoimmune disease, and more. The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of vitally important nutrition. It is well established that the food we eat today has but just a fraction of the nutrition it once carried. Over the last 6 decades, there has been an alarming fall in nutrient density across the board, from fruits and vegetables to meat, dairy and eggs, due to soil depletion and intensive agricultural growing and harvesting methods. This means that less and less key nutrients like riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, fiber, copper, vitamin E, and phosphorus, just to name a few, are present in what we eat. What's worse, almost all of our food is laden with poisonous herbicides, pesticides, and antibiotics, which destroy our body's microbiome, the health of our digestive tracts, where 80% of our immune system resides. In short, it means that we're not being nourished properly. And when you add the constant exposures to toxic chemicals we were never meant to ingest, our bodies are destined for the rise of disease and dysfunction. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? At Eden's Essentials, we provide the absolute best and cleanest nutrient-dense whole food supplements and personal care products on the market, derived directly from non-genetically modified foods grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest quality nutrition possible. So what is the Eden's Essentials difference? Well, many supplements on the market are packaged, labeled, and presented as healthy or even organic. But under the microscope, the ingredients may tell a different story. From expensive products being nutritionally void of what is advertised on the label, or using synthetic vitamins that our bodies struggle to absorb, to containing the same pesticides and herbicides we've already mentioned being used on foods, it's difficult to know what products are actually safe or as advertised. At Eden's Essentials, our products undergo a series of the most complete and rigorous raw material tests in the industry to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality bioabsorbable nutrition possible. We take pride in offering the most nutritionally dense supplements and the purest personal hygiene products available today. Our desire is to help serve the needs of everyday people so that they can achieve the highest degree of health possible. From our full-spectrum, immunity-boosting fermented mushrooms, some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition, to our 100% fermented organic whole beetroot powder for cardiovascular support, and our special Eden's blood sugar support for assisting proper insulin regulation, you can nourish your body like never before. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. Experience for yourself the Eden's Essentials difference and join the Eden's family. Visit edensessentials.com today.
Welcome back. We're here with Daniel and Abigail Gill. We're so happy that they're in the Simply His coffee shop with us today. Mm-hmm. Abigail, what is it like for you to be watching your husband do all these things and kind of be a part of that?
It's been phenomenal. It has been like an unexpected ministry platform for sure. Because when we met, like our desire was only to serve the Lord and to do ministry full time, no matter what that looked like. So then
that was before Ninja was even like on the scene.
Yeah. And so then 2 years later, he starts working at a ninja gym and then he got on the show and they were like, okay, this is what it's like. And at the time we were just dating. Mm-hmm. And so it's been so cool to see God bring about a childhood dream. And know that, you know, there are some dreams you have when you're younger and you're like, oh, that's impossible. So you shelf them. Yeah. And we even do that as adults, too. We shelf these dreams that we're like, man, I don't think it's going to work out. Like, no matter what age we are, we always are like, I don't know, God. But it's like those are in our hearts for a reason. And then we just have to trust God and put it in his hands and he'll bring about those promises. And so I always thought that was so cool about how like Daniel was like, man, that'd be really cool to be on that show one day when he was like a younger kid. And then all of a sudden he's living out this dream. And then God was able to use it as a ministry platform and impacting so many people, no matter what age they are, to inspire them to get back up and have faith in the Lord. You know, there are people that are coming to God and hearing the, you know, the story of Jesus that would never step foot in a church.
Absolutely.
And so that's just been really phenomenal for me to see the ninja side of it and see him accomplish it and do so well. And then also for the ministry aspect of it, to see so many people come into the kingdom.
Yeah. So we even get to share together when we go speak at like churches or there was a summer camp a couple years ago where they said, Daniel, we want you because you're the kingdom ninja, but we heard your wife preaches too. Can we have her?
Awesome.
Can we have her
when
we split the guys and the girls? Daniel, we want you to talk to the guys, but can we bring your wife in as a special guest to talk to the women, to the girls.
Cool.
We've gotten to do things like that now. And it's like we never would have thought that this would be a means that God would use as ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both getting to in a way, like live out that dream in a way that we wouldn't have ever dreamed up or thought of.
Yeah. Because it's a God thing.
Because it's a God thing.
Awesome.
And what an exciting life that is.
Yeah. Do you also notice, though, too, do you notice that, like, sometimes God gives you a dream, like talking about Abigail, that God gives you a dream, and so you shelf it, and then you pick it back up, and you shelf it again, and you're kind of sort of pursuing it, but not entirely, and then you realize it isn't what you were supposed to be doing, but it had to be there to lead you to this other thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there have been times, like, in both of our lives where we're like, oh, you know, this is an avenue for something. Thing, but it doesn't all work out right, or the piece isn't there. But it's like there is still some piece, it's just not fully there, and the doors aren't being open. And so then it's like, but it creates a way for another relationship and another avenue where it's like, all right, I see God on this, God is moving, there's peace, and the open doors there to walk in through it.
Mm-hmm. Our job is to walk by faith.
Yeah.
As we do, he directs and leads and guides. And even though it doesn't always look the way that we think or hope or even pray, we know that at the end of the day, God is good, has good plans for his people.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, like, in this world, you will have trouble. There'll be good days and bad days. But we know the end of the story. Like, we know how this thing ends. And it is, we can't help but to have joy even throughout the hard times and the difficult processing. It's like, God, every test I'm going to go through, will ultimately be used as a testimony. Mm-hmm. So it's,
and in every step of the way, you learn things that you need to accomplish the next step. Mm-hmm. So even though you don't get there as fast as you thought or maybe think you should, mm-hmm. by the time you get there, you can look back and go, okay, I wouldn't have been ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now you're there, and now your next assignment comes along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of start going towards that with the ultimate dream way ahead, thinking it's so far off. Mm-hmm. But each little step that you take, it gets you prepared for the next step so that when you get there, you can do it efficiently and exactly the way he wants you to do it, mm-hmm. and not the way we would do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I have learned.
Nita wrote about that actually in No Fences. You wrote how Anthony Hopkins, actually one of his biggest dreams was to compose a waltz. It was like one of his silent dreams. He never said anything about it. And then he was an actor for upteen years, yeah. and then finally had the stage at which he could go back to his first yeah. dream. So if wow. you have a dream, remember, it might just be in the background yeah. for a while.
Mm. Sometimes that dream, when it comes along, is more effective too. In mm-hmm. the end, than if yeah. you would have had it up front
yeah.
for
yeah.
everyone timing. Involved, not timing. Just you.
Yes, timing
but
is key.
Mostly for you.
Mm-hmm. Because timing is key on a lot of yes. stuff because, I mean, that's even happened here, even with this ministry. You know, yes. we're like, oh, let's do this. Oh, wait, we can't do that yet. Okay, let's do this. And so it's even like with this show, we've been talking about this show for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And so it's finally, you know, coming to fruition, but it's timing. Mm-hmm.
But God's the dream started years
everything.
Ago.
Yes, it did. It
we
did.
Have been dreaming this for years.
That is very wow. true. The idea of Simply yes. His, though, is about a year old.
Yeah.
So it's just coming full circle. And a lot of people, too, they wonder and they think, oh, well, I should have done that when I was a kid. Or, you know, they have dreams in their heart, but then again, they don't, you know, always say, oh, well, I'm just going to go after that because of life circumstances. And then a lot of people think that, oh, I'm too old to do this kind of ministry anymore, you know. But everybody, no matter what, if you are faithful yeah. in what you're doing, you can make a difference. And it doesn't matter how old you are or yeah. how young you are or mm-hmm. what stage of life it is. Because I even had a lady ask me the other day, how do you know what your calling is? I'm like, I think it changes. I think it can change in your phases of life. Because, I mean, if you're a young kid, or if you're a young married couple or whatever, mm-hmm. it's different. Yeah. You might have certain things that you have to do now.
Seasons.
And then exactly, yeah. it's yeah. all about the seasons of time. So like I might be a Sunday school teacher today, but then next year I'm preaching to the young married couples yeah. and saying, hey, this is what I found in my marriage. But it's all about timing and it's all about the seasons of life,
mm-hmm.
how it kind of comes in and out.
Daniel, I'd like to ask you about your kid book that you have
oh,
out.
Yes.
And I want you to tell our listening audience where to find those books and how to find you.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so I mean, long story short, being on the platform of American Ninja Warrior gives me a viewership, you know, a lot of influence, whether it's social media or through my website or whatever. And so I had a friend of mine say, you know, Daniel, you've been given this platform. Have you ever thought about using it for more than just the sport? And I said, well, what would that look like? He said, well, I've got kids. I read to them every night. Would you ever consider writing a children's book? And I hadn't, but as soon as he said it, something came alive in me and I said, I have to. And now I have all these ideas coming in. It's so incredible. Never
that.
Discount the relationships that God brings in your life because
yeah.
you're just one idea away from something that God already has
That's
on his heart
so
for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
So my wife and I wrote our very first children's book together titled The Little Ninja, Go Ninja Go. And
That's
so it's kind
awesome.
Of like modeled after my life, my adventures as a kid, learning how to get back up and trying to also make it relatable to kids today, what I want my children to hear.
Right.
So my wife, Abby, did all the illustrations. She's an incredible
That's
artist.
Awesome.
We've sent that out. We've launched it. And like I said, it's called The Little Ninja, Go Ninja Go. We're currently working on book two.
Yay.
And you can find those on Amazon. Just type in The Little Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them on, yeah, it's on Kindle, mm-hmm. Our website, mm-hmm. DanielGill.ninja. Or also you can follow the links to through any of our social media platforms,
yeah.
like at Kingdom Ninja on Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm. So.
That's
well,
there's
it,
other books to.
Oh, there's more books on the way too.
Because yeah.
now
right.
I found out I enjoy it. I never would have considered being an
Isn't
author.
Isn't that fun? How God gives you these little things you Ooh. Didn't even see coming, and they're just so much fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's the cherry yeah, on top.
It. Yeah,
yep.
we get to do these things. We don't have to. We get to do
yeah,
these things.
Exactly.
That's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is very fun.
Well, I'm going to get my own copy, and I hope that you can sign it for me, both
of you. Absolutely, absolutely.
So I can't wait to see it.
Well, one question that we talked about. In the back room beforehand is, what are your guys' family plans? Are there children in your future? You guys mentioned you both come from big families.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we would love to have a big family. Yeah, that's in the plans for the future. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. We'll start that family whenever she wants.
I just want wanted a house first. Yeah. Like to me, like, you know, nesting and moving, like that just didn't seem fun. Or like being pregnant and having to move. I was like, and I don't want to have babies in an apartment. So I was like, let's just have a house first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, start our family. And we both came from families of five. Yep. And so we're like, let's have six. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes though. People tell me all the time. They're like, wait till after, you know, your first kid. And then, you know, it gets harder after a little outnumbered. So yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, so we're excited.
After winning American Ninja Warrior, you know, they were like, well, what are you going to do with the money? And I said, well, my wife and I were going to buy our first home. So we're in the process. Everywhere we go, everyone's like, have you got it yet? And as of right now, this very moment, we're still in the process. Haven't gotten it yet. But once we get that, then she's like, all right, once we get a house, then maybe we can
talk about having
talk
it.
About, yeah, talk
have
about.
That conversation. But again, it's just enjoying the process. Like, okay, God, like, I'd love a house yesterday, but don't have it. And
timing is everything. And like, you know, you don't know what God has in store. So it's like, maybe that's why it's taking so long. Because like, there's a process to be walked out to get what. But
either way, it's exciting. And we're really looking forward to finally having that home, finally starting the family, and obviously continuing to compete on American Ninja Warrior each and every season. So I've sent in my video for this season. So hopefully I'll be on probably.
You may have a shooting. Maybe. Just maybe. Abigail, do you ever do any of the Ninja Warrior stuff with him, or do you just kind of watch from the sidelines?
For the most part, I just watch. I used to train a lot more with him when we were dating, but then whenever we got married and started traveling more and I started to help him in more of like a manager role, I just got so busy.
She's fit though. She's capable. She's capable.
It is a lot harder than it looks. Like, he just makes it look so easy. And so I'm like, oh, I could do that. That's easy. And then I try it. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I know. Than it looks.
Yeah. And so I can do a lot of the balance stuff, but that's pretty much it. The upper body is so much work. And I just, you know, I'm so impressed by all the women who do it. They're so strong. Like, the time and the effort that they put into the sport is just phenomenal. So it's really cool. But one day I would like to do it. I would really like to do it. So we'll see.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
One of the things I think that a lot of women, since we do have a women audience at home, I think they struggle sometimes with being fit and maintaining weight loss and a healthy weight. I think it's all mental. It's only partly physical. And I think they get to a certain point and they go, shucks, what do I do now? Have you met one of those moments where you're like head to head with your own self and you have to get motivated?
Yep. I think first having a team or like a support system, having people in your life that help encourage and help, you know, keep you focused. For me, it's all about, I mean, I've got different athletic goals, but each of us have health and fitness goals.
Yeah.
I think the best thing you can do is just begin to create healthy habits. If that's going for a 30-minute walk in the evening, if that's, you know, setting aside X amount of minutes per day, but creating a routine. I think the best thing we can do is create a routine. And that includes like cutting out certain foods and bringing in certain foods just to help daily make those small steps towards those goals. Nothing happens overnight. And we have to understand that spiritually or in this case physically.
Oh, true.
So it's finding those little steps to daily meet those milestones to get to those goals. And anything you wanted to add?
No, I think that's really good. Like doing something every day that like helps you get to,
start
even
small.
If it's not what you intended on because of time, like whether you have kids or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, but always being intentional every day to do something, even if it's smaller than your goal, like every day creating that habit. And I think community is so important.
That's wonderful.
To have you cheering you on.
Daniel, Abigail, thank you so much for being with us today on the Simply His Coffee Shop. We'll see you next time.